Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Have you ever got that feeling that you're a bit all over the place?
Yes.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Welcome to the we're a bit all over the place. I'll explain why in a moment, but the first thing, for people who are a bit all over the place, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you understand what it is to be a bit all over the place. And we come just as we are to you. Thank you for your great love, your patience, your kindness, your goodness. Thank you, we come to someone who knows what it's like to be human. We pray that you would meet us, encourage us, give us hope and inspiration for living, for loving. Speak to us, we pray, Lord, through your word today. Amen. Right, we have a fun duty first. This will get you in the Christmas mood. Mark, could you use the lectern here and do our annual duty? If you've turned up today, you're a vital part of this proceedings, which Mark will explain.
This is the time for us all to be honest.
He's not preaching, honest.
No, tell these stories, please. The Baptist Union do an annual return, and they would like a head count, please, of people. So, please, when I give out age ranges, please be honest to put your hand up. So, if we start, first of all, with... Forgive me, this is their reading of things. So, first of all, it's children 0 to 10. So, if you're a child 0 to 10, could you put your hand up, please? So.
Oh, well done, Harry.
Thank you. Now, young people, if you're aged... No. Maybe young at heart, but... Young people aged 11 to 17, if you're in that age group, thank you. Then young adults, if you're aged 18 to 30, you're a young adult. That's good, isn't it? 18 to 30. Thank you very much. This is quite a strange one because it says other adults. But it's other adults aged 30 to 64. 30
yes!
to 64.
I'm an other adult. Great. Who's another adult?
Okay.
Have you counted yourself, Mark?
Not yet, no. Now, I think this next age group should be God's golden oldies.
But, you're going to do the numbers again, sorry.
That's okay. And Andrew. Right, okay, that's fine. I'll amend that. Okay, so yes, God's golden oldies. If you haven't put your hand up yet, can you now put your hand up? Right, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Aren't you glad you came today? Excellent. It is especially, it's great we've got some young adults. And we've got some other adults. So, you know, we're so blessed, aren't we? A couple of notices, really, just to, as we're coming up to Christmas now. You've got these invitations that are on your seats. We don't want these staying here, so take them give them, if you haven't already given them to people, go and use them, give them out to people. Inviting people to the carol service that's tonight, 6:30, serving mince pies afterwards. So the people you know who like food, just tell there's free food and after the carol service and they'll come. So do invite them. Who spotted, apart from Peter, who spotted the Angela who, and Mark, who spotted the mistake on the notices again? And Sheila and Chris, oh good, oh you are an observant group. I changed the notice about the carol singing in the care home, right? Got that right. It's no longer Primley Court. It was Pendennis, and that was quite correct. In the notice on Keeping in Touch, I said it was Monday, which is wrong. And we changed it, so it now says correctly Tuesday. But on there, it said Tuesday the 17th of December. And the 17th of December is today. So when I said we are all over the place, I meant it. We are literally all over the place. So on Tuesday at 2:30, hopefully Barbara, Margaret and I and Colin will be there, but none of the rest of you have got a hope because you've been given three different dates so far. But if you'd like to join us in worshipping at Pendennis, 64 Dartmouth Road, right opposite where Colin and Cindy used to live, now Colin lives. Do come along to worship, to bless the residents and the staff there. It may well be the only time not only residents but staff are in a place where Jesus is lifted up and the story of Christmas is told. So that's 20 past 2, ready for 2:30, on Tuesday the 19th. Right, great. Last notice, the Christmas postman has been out, and on the table outside there are cards for, put in alphabetical piles and so on. Don't please add any more to the table, because people will go there once and then they'll go thinking they've picked all their cards up, and if someone then puts another card on, it won't be picked up. So don't add any more to the cards there now. But thank you for doing that, saving the postage. And if you want to give a gift to the Haven instead of your stamps, that would be great. Oh, this is a treat. This is a treat. Hi, Ronna. Lovely to see you. We've got Ronna, Zeb, and Noah, and Matthew. Congratulations. Oh, it's good to see you. What a time to have a baby. Wonderful. So don't all descend on Ronna afterwards, but lovely to see you. And welcome, baby Matthew. Right, Connie, would you like to come and give me a hand doing these candles? Right, this is tricky, but you'll do it. I know you'll do it. Right, see if the matches will work today. They're not very good matches, like they've been around a long time. Right, here we go. So, we have an Advent candle calendar. If you'd like to try and light one in the middle, you need to get down to that black bit that's right in the middle. A bit more higher, but that's it. Excellent. This is for who? The patriarchs, men who with their wives were chosen by God to bring Jesus into the world. Their great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson was Jesus. Then the second one, could you do this one? Lovely. This is for the prophets, Old Testament prophets. God spoke through them at many times in various ways about the coming of Jesus. All pointed to Jesus, who he is, and what he would do. Can you come around this side now, Connie? Don't trip over the cross. Just come in there, dip it in there. A bit more, that's it, perfect. Can you blow that one out? Perfect, thank you. Wonderful, thank you very much. Lovely job, thank you. Colin, do you know who that third one's for? No. Who else knows who the third candle's for? John the Baptist, excellent, excellent. Today we light a candle for John the Baptist, son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, a cousin of Jesus. If you read in Luke's Gospel in the Bible, you can find out all about him. He was described by one of the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, as a voice of one calling. He was sent by God to prepare the way for Jesus. Today's theme of our service is the voice, the voice. He was sent by God to prepare the way for Jesus, who is the light. We hear about him here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming in to the world. That's why we have this Advent candle calendar, an increasing sense of light coming. And our first song as we come into a time of worship is Light of the World. Our focus is always on Jesus, and that's what John the Baptist did, and that's what we're going to do as we worship. Feel free to sit or to stand.
John the Baptist came to prepare the way. Prepare the way for what, you might be asking? To prepare the way for Jesus. And the next song we're going to sing reflects the fact that, you know, Jesus started off, he came born as a child in the night of a mother Mary, but then things didn't quite work out the way that the world was hoping. And then eventually Jesus will come again.
Jesus is the only hope for our world. As we look around, we see just devastation in the physical earth and in people's lives. But you give us hope. Jesus, you are the hope of the nations. Jesus, you are the comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth.
You are the source of heaven's hope on earth.
Turn our eyes to you, Jesus. And that's the key. We need to turn our eyes and our hearts to you. Without you, Jesus, the world is so difficult, so dangerous, and so desperate. But with you, Jesus, there is always hope.
Amen. 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 Be pleased to know I've remembered it this week, but we do have an offering now. So
I'm not going to confuse anybody today. God loves to see our smiles, and he calms us in our tears. He loves us just to be here. So it's great that you're here. If you've come prepared to make an offering, financial offering, to the work of the church, which is God's work, then feel free to put your money in the bank. Thank you to those who've given through the bank and other ways. Let's take up our offering as an offering to the Lord.
Everything you've given us, and we give you our hearts, and we give you these gifts, that others will come to know your love. Amen. Amen. So, Angela
and I think D are going out today, and it's all about, surprise, surprise, Christmas. Is that right? Excellent. So that's great. Father, we thank you for our children, young and old. And we thank you for those who will be going out with Andrew and Dee now. We pray you bless them as they look again at the Christmas story. And for some of them, really for the first time, perhaps they hear parts of the Christmas story. Lord, we pray for wonder and mystery, as well as an understanding that comes from your Spirit. Amen. Great, have a good time. Eric, you're going to have a good time, aren't you? Yeah, Eric and Lexi, Brill. Zeb, Noah, you're going out as well? Your choice? Yeah. Oh, Connie as well. Don't get left behind. Excellent. See you in a bit, guys. We've been praying that we would have more children, and I love the patter of tiny feet. You can hear them going up the stairs. What a joy it is to have children here. Oh, thank you, Leslie. Yeah. You're doing a good job. Just so you know, Keep You in Touch was quite correct. Leslie was supposed to be leading today, but Joy is unwell. So we're not worshipping with Joy. That's not true, is it? But Joy's got a very bad cold, so she rang in this morning to say she could play. So Leslie's stepping into her place, and I'm sort of stepping into Leslie's place.
Heavenly Father, we come now to pray for Stephen. Father, we believe that you've given him the word that you want him to deliver today. And we pray for courage and boldness to say whatever it is that you've given him. Father, we pray for open hearts and open ears to listen and to hear it deep down. Amen.
Amen. Isn't it good when you've got a wife to pray for you? We are blessed if we have wives to pray for us, or anybody that prays for us. We need it. Liz, do you want to get ready for the reading? We're almost there, but I've got a couple of things to do first. We don't seem to hear much about John the Baptist. Even in the church I grew up in, which is in Broadstone in Dorset, which was named after St. John the Baptist, we read very little about him. My overall impression, which is mostly comes from films, he's a very strange character. He's a wild bearded man, nothing like me at all, being so neatly and tidily. But he was a wild bearded man, dressed in camel hair, living in the desert, eating locusts and honey. An interesting man. That may be your impression as well. Well, who was he? Well, this is what his father said. "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Those words were spoken through Zechariah's father, just after he was born, by the Holy Spirit. He declared those words about being a prophet, preparing the way for people who were in darkness. And then, much later on, when he started his ministry, probably about 30 years later on, Jesus tells us who John the Baptist is. And that's the reading Liz is going to bring us.
Reading from Matthew 11, 1 to 15. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not yet risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let them hear.
Thank you. Thank you, Liz. It's great to hear God's word read so clearly so we can hear. Jesus says that nobody who has ever been born of a woman is greater than John. So that includes Moses, Abraham, David, the original Elijah, Elisha, whoever you can think of, all of those in the Old Testament, none are greater than John the Baptist. So why is he so important? He's important because of who Jesus appointed him to be, what he'd chosen him to do. Jesus tells us that John was a prophet, but he was also more than a prophet. According to Jesus, John is the messenger that the Old Testament prophet Malachi, who wrote the last book in the Old Testament, the Old Testament prophet Malachi foretold that this messenger would come. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. That's Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1. Hundreds of years before John the Baptist arrived. That's what he said would happen. God had chosen John to do a specific task. He didn't have long to do it, because he was soon imprisoned and then executed by King Herod. But it was an essential task. He was chosen to be the forerunner of the kingdom of heaven, to announce that the kingdom of heaven was near. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the word of the Lord, Jesus himself, comes to the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who foretells the coming of the voice. This is our theme for today, the voice. Isaiah says, a voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley should be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground should become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. 700 years before it happens, Isaiah is inspired by the Holy Spirit to say, there is a messenger coming, a voice coming. John came to prepare the way for Jesus and to start bringing the people back to God. Jesus tells us that John is the prophet referred to by Malachi when he says in the last words of the Bible, these are the last words in the Old Testament, see, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. I find it really interesting that the last words in the Old Testament talk of a prophet coming who will turn the hearts of the father to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. We read last week in 2 Timothy where it talks about, well, 1 Timothy I think was, in the last days, all sorts of dreadful things will happen. But one of the main things that is listed there, children will be disobedient to their parents. The whole family breakdown that we see all around us now, where the hearts of the fathers are not towards their children, and the hearts of the children are not towards their fathers, in so many cases. This is on God's heart to put this right. Family breakdown is such a concern to God's heart. So, that's what Jesus said. He's the messenger. He's the voice. He's the one you've been waiting for to prepare for me. What did John say about himself? He describes himself this way. I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. John 1, verse 23. Repeating that quotation from Isaiah. So, what is the voice saying? What is his message? John the Baptist, in his own words, quoting from the prophet Isaiah, as recorded by the other John, says to everybody, make straight the way for the Lord. He is preparing the way for the Lord Jesus in two ways. Firstly, he's telling the people about themselves. It's not a message that they were very pleased about. Some didn't even want to hear it. Some did listen. But it was not an easy message. He told the people, you need to repent or face judgment. Leslie's going to read for us our second reading from Matthew.
Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe has been laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
Doesn't mince his words, does he, John the Baptist? He tells them, you cannot rely on your heritage, that you're Jews, that you can trace your ancestry back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can't say, we're children of Abraham, we're all right. That won't save them from judgment. They all need to repent, to confess their sins, be washed clean, and become ready for the kingdom of heaven, which will come when Jesus arrives. And he's coming soon. Of course, he was right there. Jesus was right there. When Jesus does come, John says, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will get rid of everything that is evil, pouring his holy goodness into clean people. I had a very interesting conversation here with somebody on their own, and I've never spoken to anybody like this before, and it may be I'll have to speak like it again. But I spoke to them on their own. I said, you need to repent, and you need to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. You need to do real stuff that shows that you really have repented. And he came to the Lord right here, truly repenting and seeking to do everything he could to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. It's still a battle for him. But this is what counts, true repentance. And there's no point us pussyfooting around with the world around us, saying, God loves everybody, and just come to him, it's fine. The message is repentance. Turn around. So, the first thing that John the Baptist came to do was to tell people to repent. But then he told them who Jesus is. And that was the other thing that he had to do. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him. But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.'" John is telling people who Jesus is. It's funny, isn't it, when you read passages you've read before. And even as I was reading that, I had to concentrate on carrying on reading because my mind was already taken up with what he said there. I didn't know who he was. He knew Jesus was his cousin. I didn't know who he was, but God revealed to me who he was. John the Baptist didn't know who Jesus was by his own knowledge, but he told us who Jesus was through the Holy Spirit. And in fact, he started this really early on. There's a wonderful story, and you can read about it in Luke chapter 1. You have this wonderful story when Mary, who's been told by the angel that she's going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit, she thinks, help, and she goes off to visit her cousin, who by that moment is 6 months pregnant. And she goes off to meet him, and she calls Elizabeth. And as soon as John the Baptist, 6 months from conception, but 3 months yet to be born, as soon as John the Baptist hears Mary's voice, he leaps up and down in the womb. I don't know if anybody here has had a baby leap up in their womb. But I know there's a few times they do a bit of kicking. But Mary Elizabeth knew. And she says through the Holy Spirit, "Who is it? What, you know, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to visit me?" John the Baptist gives Elizabeth a boot in the tummy. And Elizabeth, by the Holy Spirit, then calls Mary, her cousin, mother of my Lord. She doesn't know at that point that she's pregnant. And she certainly doesn't know it's the Lord God inside her tummy. I mean, the whole thing's just incredible. So John the Baptist, through the Holy Spirit, without him knowing anything at all, wakes up Elizabeth. But then 30 years go by until, by the Holy Spirit, he is told, this is who your cousin is. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is eternal. Wonderful bit of English you may have missed there. A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Jesus is 6 months younger than John the Baptist. So he's a man who came after me, but he's a man who came before me because he's the I Am. He is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. And he also says, I have seen and testified, this is God's chosen one. Another translation, this is the Son of God. That was John's chief task. The first was to say, repent, turn around, look out, Jesus is coming. The second thing was to say, there he is. And this is who he is. And then his task was over. As he said to his disciples, he must increase, I must decrease. He was put in prison by King Herod for telling him he shouldn't have his brother, Philip, his wife, Herodias. Herod said, I want my brother's wife. And she was quite happy about it and left Philip and went to be with Herod. Eventually, you may know the story, Herodias got her own back by getting her daughter to demand John's head on a platter when she was asked what she wanted as a reward for dancing for King Herod. It's an amazing story again. You have to read it to really understand what's going on. But John the Baptist, imprisoned and then executed for doing what he was called to do, telling people to repent. So there we are. We've heard lots about John the Baptist this morning. What do we learn from John the Baptist? I could say, keep your mouth shut or you won't have a tongue left to speak with. Because that is one lesson you could learn from John the Baptist. If you speak the truth to the wrong people, you end up without a tongue. And if you ignore, if you upset a woman, if you upset a woman, is it that saying, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned? Herodias was a woman scorned. I'm not having John the Baptist telling me who I can be married to or who I can have a relationship with. So we could learn that from John the Baptist. You don't say anything and you don't cross women. Maybe there are men around who are in that situation. I could go off on one here. I must not. Now, John the Baptist needed to keep speaking. He was God's voice. He was the voice. So I think there are three things for us to consider. But you can think about lots more. The first one to ponder on. Whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, John the Baptist. So we've heard that John the Baptist is the greatest of all the people who've ever been born. There's no one in the Old Testament greater than him. But whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So what does that mean? At this point, when Jesus says this, John is still alive in prison. He's still part of the old covenant. Talks about the prophets up to and including John. They are all waiting, like those we heard about in Hebrews 11, that roll call of faith. They're all waiting for the promise of God to be fulfilled, but they haven't received it. And so therefore anyone, everyone who's in the kingdom of heaven is greater than those who've inherited all the blessings of the kingdom. Because they've inherited all the blessings of the kingdom, including being God's sons and heirs. Now, John the Baptist gets that as well. all those Old Testament prophets, they all become sons of God and heirs of God. But Jesus is just making the point that whatever you are in this life has got nothing compared to what you are when you are in the kingdom. Do we take for granted the fact that we are already citizens of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? I'm looking a whole lot of people who are aliens and strangers. Could you like just look at the person next to you and tell them they're an alien? I bet you weren't expecting that this morning. We're not on Doctor Who, not yet. You're an alien and you're a stranger. You might find that easier because some of them are a bit strange. Tell your next person you're a stranger. Some of them aren't playing the game. Come on, Karen and Ronna. Go on, alien and stranger. Come on. Remember, this is not our home. When the kingdom of God breaks in and establishes a church, then yes, this is home. And I'm very happy to say this is home, because this is the kingdom of God here on earth. But it's the fullness of kingdom of heaven in heaven, the kingdom of God in heaven. That's what we're looking forward to. So ponder that. It's a mystery, and I've not probably explained it very well. So just go and think about it. What a wonder it is to be in the kingdom of heaven. Another easy one, really easy one for you to ponder on. He must increase, I must decrease. Okay, so you got that sorted, have you? Jesus is to be the center and Lord of our lives. If we're being changed from one degree of glory to another, which is what it says of all those who put their faith in Jesus, whatever we've become, we become more and more glorious every day. It's only because we're becoming more like Jesus. It's great. We arrived here 5 years ago. And anybody who was here 5 years ago that we met, you are now looking more like Jesus. You may have a few more grey hairs. In fact, 5 years ago, a lot of you didn't have grey hair because you abandoned during COVID. Colouring went out the window. We've now got truly haired people. Sorry, I'm getting really stroppy today, aren't I? Isn't it fun? You know who you are. But we've become more like Jesus. What a wonderful thing. All glory goes to him. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's what Paul says. He must increase, I must decrease. Naturally, simply, I want to be the center of attention. By the Spirit of God, I want Jesus to be the center of attention, because he's the one who can save. He's the hope. He must increase, I must decrease. So two things to ponder on. And this one, something to do. Preach the gospel. Be God's voice. People still need to hear, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. They still need to know who Jesus is. That's the two things that John the Baptist came for. Repent, need to come to Jesus, and this is who he is. Everybody still needs the two things. They still need that. They will not hear the gospel from the world. Will they hear it from the church? Not every church. That's the truth. Will they hear it from this church? Will they hear it from us? Will they hear it from you? We are told to always speak the truth in love, to share our faith with gentleness and respect. But we do need to share it. There's not to be any silent Christians. We take time to be silent, to meet with God, and then we go and speak of what we've heard. We do need to be a voice of the Lord. As Paul says in Romans, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I've often asked this question, have you got beautiful feet? If you're going out praying for people and seeking to share a word with gentleness and respect, you've got beautiful feet. We're called to be a voice in the desert. We are called to be a voice of hope, faith, love, and peace. We are called to be those who have the ministry of reconciliation. And as I was preparing this morning, I felt that we needed to come full circle back to the words that Zechariah said about his son. Zechariah didn't know anything really about this at all. He was completely ended up dumb because he didn't believe an angel. You have to read the story. But the Holy Spirit gave him these words. And I think we can hear these for ourselves. Take this personally. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. That's what we do when we spread the gospel. Whether it's giving one of those leaflets, writing a note in a Christmas card, whatever it might be. Let's pray. Lord, we want to repent, to say sorry, to turn around from going away from you, not doing what you ask us to do, doing our own thing. Lord, forgive us, we pray. Through your death on the cross, forgive us. Help us to produce fruit in keeping with repentance, serving you, loving you, worshipping, and witnessing. Jesus, help us to spend time with you, to discover who you are, and then tell others that you are the Eternal One, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You are God's chosen one, the Son of the Father. You are the hope. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Loosen our tongues, Lord, we pray, that we might worship and witness to your glory. Amen.
Let's just take a moment to let those words that Stephen's been speaking to us today to sink in, because there's an awful lot there. But what is it out of today's message that God is saying to you personally? Is he saying it's time to get up and walk out and talk to your friends, your neighbours about Jesus? Is he saying today's the day that you've got to say sorry to Jesus for things that are not right in your life? Is he saying, actually, today's the day that you're going to accept me as your Lord and Saviour, because you haven't done that yet? Is he saying, I have seen that spark in you that is just beginning to light? Feed it. Feed it. Water it. Because I've got great things for you to do. Let's just take a moment. Jesus has been saying to you, you've been thinking long enough about me. Now is the time to step forward and to accept me as your Lord and Saviour. And don't leave today without talking to somebody about what this means. You can talk to Stephen, you can talk to Debbie, you can talk to me, or anybody around that you trust. But don't let the day today go by if today is your day.
Amen.
We're going to sing, I hear the sound of rustling in the leaves on the trees. And there's a line in there that says, my tongue will be the pen of a ready writer, and what the Father gives to me, I'll sing. I only want to be his breath. I only want to glorify the King. And don't sit there thinking, my voice is awful, I can't do anything. God only hears the beautiful part of your voice.
Over at the water, I'll give.
now to a time of prayer. And when I was reflecting on what to focus on for prayer today, I felt God say that we need to pray for people for whom Christmas this year will not be as they would like it to be or they expected it to be. And Stephen and I bumped into somebody in the town this week who had lost two members of their family this year. And their Christmas is going to be very different this year. And they looked completely lost. On our TVs, we see what is happening in Israel, Palestine, Gaza. There are many people there for whom Christmas this year will not be as they want it to be. The Ukraine, we've got a house two or three doors down from us where a number of Ukrainian ladies and their children are living, but without their husbands and their fathers. Daddy won't be there on Christmas morning. This is the second year. So just pray as God leads you. Let's just take a few moments. Pray as God leads you, either out loud or in your hearts, whatever it is that God's laying there that needs to be prayed for this morning.
I read yesterday, Lord, about the church in Gaza, which is absolutely packed full of people who have taken refuge there. Already some people in the periphery have been killed. I pray you put your arms of protection around them. Amen.
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 Two members of our family who have been a long way away from God, and suddenly yesterday we heard that they had joined a church in Sherford. The Lord, David and I could have jumped in the air.
Thank you, Lord.
Because we've been praying for this couple for a long time. And I want to pray that they will, through Rachel's witness, will go on to giving their hearts back again to Jesus. So I praise your name this morning, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to pray for members of our church who have died, who have lost family members, church family members this year. I'm thinking particularly of the loss of Hilary Ray, and Grace has lost relatives this year as well, and there's others as well that I cannot recall. Lord, be with them this Christmas. It's a different Christmas for them, as Leslie said.
Amen.
Father, we want to thank you that you are the God of all comfort. And Father, yes, for many it will be a sad time. But Father, I just pray your holy name that you can bring that comfort right into these people's very lives and very experiences. Lord, we just pray for all those that are struggling in that way. But Father God, we thank you. Help them to look to Jesus. Help them to look at the Christmas story in a new way. Open their eyes and their hearts and their minds to receive the truth, and that will bring the joy. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we pray for those who've spent many years together, Lord, but this Christmas time will be separated, because they've been moved to care homes. Lord, may you comfort them in their sadness. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you that all our prayers have been heard, whether they've been spoken out or whether they've been quietly within our hearts. You've heard each one, Jesus. And you say, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Well, Father, I had a quick count up, and there's over 60 of us here today. So we know, Jesus, that you are listening to everything that's been said.
Thank you.
And we just leave it with you, Jesus. Where situations seem hopeless, there's nothing that we feel we can do. We can bring those prayers, Jesus, and leave it with you. Amen.
Amen.
And we come to our final hymn, Longing for Light, which reflects on the chorus, Christ be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. But Jesus, the verses bring to our memory so many of those difficult things that are in our world today.
I just wanted to check if Angela's out. Is Angela out the
yes,
door?
Yes, yes. Are they ready to come back?
Are they there? It's right, the children have been doing something. Just want to know if they're ready yet. What we'll do is we'll look at what they've done after this hymn. So let's do Longing for Light. Come on then, youngsters.
We've had a wonderful time and we've been doing the Christmas story, and three of the children are going to read you what we've written under the picture.
The shepherds were told to go and find Jesus in Bethlehem.
Mary wrapped Jesus up and laid him in a manger.
The wise men followed the star to where Jesus was.
And they've all contributed to that picture today. And they've also made staples of their own.
Let's just be together as we pray. Lord God, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may go out from here worshipping and witnessing, pointing people to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, children.